Ask the Podcast Coach for June 27th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it's Saturday. Here we go. We have a little disco going on here. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. Our website is askthepodcastcoach.com/live, where you can see our live chat room today. The fun thing of doing a live show is, of course, I've not touched a single knob since last week. And something's going on with my Mac where it will not let me... It will not... We use the... we've been testing the Blog Talk Radio interface. And to make a long story short, that's not working today. We'll just leave it at that. The good news is I'm not alone. Here he is to save the day. Forget Mighty Mouse. The one, the only, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Good morning, Dave. Greetings to you. I always look forward to the Saturday morning encouragement from you because you always make me sound so awesome before I come on the show. So thanks for that. There's never enough coffee in the world. I'm already out of coffee,
which is a bummer. That is a bummer. So
no, I have no coffee. We don't have Collins. Okay, we'll take your questions from chat. It's just easier that way. We can take them in. So if you're in the chat room, join us over to askthepodcastcoach.com/live and click on the chat room. You know, that chat room, you can just click out. I don't know if everybody knows that, but there's a pair of dual boxes in the upper right-hand corner of the chat room. If you click on that, it'll pop it right out of the page. You can put it anywhere on your PC that you want, that you want. And so it's a great way to get the chat room kind of outside of all the rest of the windows, and you can follow along as we do the show. Not a big deal. We'll figure it out. This is what you do. You just adapt, adjust, and keep going.
And I just realized, not that I care. I guess I do care. We're not on Spreaker. I got stuck at the Blog Talk Radio world.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. No, that's okay.
That's all right. You got to be here.
You can always feed it to Spreaker later.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The advantage of Spreaker, right, is that it notifies your listeners that you're live. I wonder how effective that is after a while. Cause I know I do that now too. And I don't get anybody. At first I got people to join me over there, but now we get a few on Mixlr, a handful on Mixlr, almost none on Spreaker for the live show. So who knows?
I'm laughing at how hard it is to not want to keep troubleshooting.
Oh, I know. I'm like, you're like, oh, it's just driving me nuts.
I grabbed the keyboard. I'm like, no, put it down. Put it down. It's okay. We'll live.
You'll figure it out. The second the show is over,
it'll
just work. In fact, when you say goodbye, everybody, and then that allow button will go
boop. And I'm like, oh, there's – so, yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've been – the last couple of weeks, I've been coming in, and it used to be I would do some stuff, and then I would more or less get ready for the show. And I've swapped that the last couple of weeks. I'll get everything ready. I'll have – this and that, I'll go find some questions and do a lot more show prep. And today I had an interview. I actually have already interviewed a guy for the School of Podcasting. And so that was 8:30 to 9:30. I actually started getting ready and did the Blog Talk thing, but I didn't connect the microphone because, well, you know, I haven't changed a thing. So why would I need to test that? So always fun. But
I always, Dave, start an hour in advance. I'm just most comfortable with that. So for an hour before my live show, so we go live at 8 p.m. Central. I go at 7. I'm in setting things up, even if it has to sit for 45 minutes. And I do the same thing at Gallup. It's just for me, that's a routine that's been really helpful. It's just make sure. In fact, I make it at Gallup. I make my guests connect a half hour before the show. Cause I found if we did just 15 minutes, there were always problems, but at the half an hour mark, there was never problems. It's weird. It's the weirdest thing. When you give it time, you don't run into problems. When you run short on time or try to compress it, it always seems like you run into those issues. Right. Yeah. And so I've just found with that stuff, it just helps. I'm going to block it out. It's a 2 hour deal.
Yep.
Can start an hour early and do an hour long podcast.
Well, that's what I do with when I go on site to do training with a company. I get there an hour early, and there are plenty of times that I'm done in 15 minutes and I sit there for 45 minutes reading my Kindle, you know, or when I played in a band, we always showed up an hour early to install. And that way, if you go, oh, man, we forgot the whatever cord, you've got, you know, 45 minutes to go back and get it. And
yeah, it gives you more options. I mean, it's like money in life, right? The more money you have, the more options you have. In podcasting, the more time you have, the more options you have. So if things go wrong, it just gives you some time to, especially if you're going to be live, you can never prep or get too early on these things. It's good just to get out ahead of them and be early.
Yeah. So again, if you have a chat room, Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast had a good idea. He said, put the word question at the beginning of your question so we can,
that's a great idea.
So we can spot those versus just people commenting on your question. Of course, the big news this week, last Monday, kind of odd. I understand there's a propaganda sounds so negative, but there, I learned about this in like, I forget what class it was. And they call it there's a form of propaganda called just plain folks. We're just like you. And politicians love to do that because, you know, hey, I'll vote for him because he's just like me. So I'm not quite sure because the president was on a podcast. Now, I learned this morning, not the first time he's been on a podcast. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. I thought that was his first one.
He was on apparently Bill Simmons, who's the guy. Now, see, that's a little different. He's on ESPN. Or was on ESPN, and apparently he was on Bill Simmons' podcast, but talked specifically about sports only. Because we all know the president's a big basketball nut and likes sports and football and that whole nine yards. But yeah, so the president was on Mark Maron's podcast called WTF. And if you don't know what the F4 is for, you can kind of figure that out. Rhymes with truck. And the interesting thing was he broke the single day record for most downloads in 24 hours was 725,000 downloads in 24 hours. Previously held by Dan Carlin of the History Show. I forget the exact name of it, but I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. That's
For sure. That's a big deal. Yeah. I mean, those things, we need those kinds of jumps to, you know, I think those things are a lot like a rubber band, an old rubber band, when you stretch it out and it never really returns all the way to its original form. And we just kind of need to stretching that out and hope we have these. Me personally, I probably wouldn't have chose Mark Maron's podcast to do it as the president, mm-hmm. But I get it. You're right. There's that. Hey, I'm just a regular guy, you know, those kinds of things. And it is a big popular platform. I mean, I think, and Mark can be appropriate when he needs to be, right? Yeah. I mean, he's got the WTF is a shtick, right? I mean, right. It's just a shtick. So that was good for us. I mean, that's good for podcasting.
Well, I'm going to say it was another shot in the arm of getting people to understand what podcasting is. And,
well, David, how about the latest ratings that have come out, right? We just had a new release of statistics around who's listening to podcasts and who they are. And the lines are fairly flat when we look at, I think half of all the people in that can or have are can watch or listen to podcasts have heard of it. And just about a third are listening to them. And those numbers they've grown, but they're fairly flat. I'll need to pull that up to maybe we can talk about that.
It's slow. Every time you see a thing, it's like, hey, it went up from, you know, 27% last year to 29%. So it's like the number's going up, you know, and previously it was 24%. And it's always this, you know, it's great because it is growing. That's the good news. And it's pretty much grown every single year. There was one year in Edison where they redefined what a podcast was, which I'm like, really? You can do that? But they did that, and the number went down temporarily, and then ever since then it's been going back up. Because I forget what I think they threw in, like, streaming radio or something like that. But, Kathy Kelly from specialmouse.com says in the chat room, 50% men, 50% are women listening now. That's interesting. Because I've heard people say, you know, why aren't there more women at the top of these podcast lists? And I always thought the answer was, well, because most of the podcast topics originally were tech and sports and, you know, stuff that were somewhat predominantly male oriented topics. But now that there are more women podcasters, I think they're, you know, they're attracting more women listeners. Plus I was going to say it's easier, but that sounds weird because it's not that women are, they're not, I don't know. My wife still doesn't understand her phone. I don't know if that's typical. But she's just not into learning all the gadgety geeks of it. And I don't know if that is, you know, she just wants to talk on the phone and she occasionally will use an app or this and that. But
well, that's how you get the rest of the audience, right? I think we've captured the geeks who are going to do it, right? And this is where the slow growth is. I think the good news is when this does pop, it's going to pop big because when the average consumer figures out how to do it, or when we make it easy enough for the average consumer to do it, then it will move quickly. But I think all we're doing now is just still continuing to gather the geeks, the enthusiasts, the, you know, the people who kind of get it and understand it and those kinds of things. I still think we have not caught mainstream America, right? Or mainstream whatever. It's one of those kinds of things where we've still got some work to do. And I think those numbers are going to kind of just continue to crawl upwards. And they will move upwards, but I don't think a lot.
Yeah, Jeff has a question. Jeff Bundy, thanks again for being here, Jeff. Says, do either of you think that podcasts will have an influential role in the USA 2016 presidential race? Well, I know Jason mentioned, Jason Bryant from Matt Talk Online had mentioned that President Obama had a podcast before. I think he used it during his campaign. If that's the case, I was unaware of that. But I know there have been, the guy that got caught with his hand in the cookie jar that Rob helped, Senator Edwards, had a podcast. So I think in the past they've used them. Yeah, I think it would be more influential this year with the new one because just more people are listening. So I think I would be surprised if they don't launch a podcast. It'll be interesting to see because, I mean, every time you turn around now, I think I know the last time I turned on the news, there was Governor Christie, a bunch of Republican people are throwing in their hat in the ring. And to me, that'd be a cool way to get to know them and what they stand for and how corrupt they are and how much they lie. All those other things that you want to know.
No bias is there at all. No.
I I'm not Republican or Democrat. I'm like, look, I think they're all crooks, buddy. And the whole thing when they were, here's the beauty. I'm going to start talking politics. I can't do that. Cause I guess I miss this too. I don't watch the news. I don't. I think it's a major waste of my time most of the time, but I guess they outlawed, like, is the Confederate flag now outlawed?
Oh, I'm not even following that. That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. But so ridiculous. But the fun thing is while that was going on and everybody's like, look, the flag is bad. They passed something in Congress and that's how they work. And if you know that, if you listen to the No Agenda show, that is a common theme in Congress. The news goes, look, everybody needs to watch this plane that went down 3 weeks ago. And they're just obsessed with it. Meanwhile, Congress is. Yeah. Anyway, we're talking politics.
I think to get us back on track.
Thank you.
I think I do think this next cycle will be more podcast heavy. In other words, that's the way they'll bring it. I just think we're going to see a lot more of those of that coming. Will it be a major feature of it? I don't think so. Not yet. I don't think it's still mainstream enough yet. To do it. I don't know if voters are listening to podcasts right now. That's the key, right?
That's those the thing. Who vote
are listening to podcasts. And I don't have any research on that, so I don't know. So it's conjecture on my part.
Yeah, because in theory, right, a lot of people in their 30-40 range, right? I'd have to go back and look at those stats to see what is the average age range. But I know a lot of people think that young people listen to podcasts. Well, that's great. We just can't get them to we can't get anybody to vote, really, when I think about it. I know when I was listening to the Congressional Dish, she was explaining just if we all went out, like we could change Congress tomorrow if we just went out and voted. And it's just a shame that we don't.
It's a problem. I mean, it's a big problem in America. We got to get more people doing it for sure.
But it was exciting to see that. And of course, there's a big old press release from Lipson because Lipson was using it. Well, great move on that. Saying that, we just fed 722,000 downloads and didn't blink. And, we're proud that, and I guess they say in their press release that when he was Senator Obama, used Lipson as their host. And now that he's president, he's, using Mark Maron. And they did choose Mark. Mark didn't approach them. They approached Mark. I was listening to that.
That'd be a pretty good feeling, wouldn't it?
Well, they said it was.
The White House calls you?
Well, The interesting thing is he said he went from they went through WTFpod.com. And so it's kind of like, yes, we're with the president, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah.
An intern set this up. You know this happened, right? A White House intern. Hey, intern, go get this set up. And okay. Well, they went to their website and sent him an email, right?
Yeah.
To get it done.
Well, he said they had to contact them both. And then when they finally figured out that, wow, this is legit, then it was a matter of like, and they kept saying, we'll go to you. And they're like, no, no, we want to come to the garage. So that, again, is where I went. This is a propaganda kind of thing. And plus, they said that if they had let Marc Maron do that, when you've got a White House press corps and they don't get that kind of access, oh, that would have not have gone over too well, I think. So it was interesting getting the behind the scenes. That's why I thought today when I was listening to that after show, I was like, oh, this is cool, because this is the stuff, you know, going back to, you know, making good content, you know, Mark has a very unique experience now, and only he can talk about that. So I was really glad that he put out an episode that wasn't an interview. It was just like, here's how this happened. And
I think, though, Dave, there's a lesson in there for us as podcasters, and that you don't ever be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't the way he went about it, right? But don't, especially early in your interviews, when you're going to do interviews like that, or you're an interview podcast, don't hesitate. I mean, ask. The worst they can say is no, right? They can't punch you in the face. So that's the only. I've gotten to use that line a bunch this week, which is really awesome. But it just ask. The worst they can say is no. And if they say no, come back to it 6 months later and ask again. You never know, especially if it's political or those kinds of things. Sometimes their agenda changes and they need you. And so, and yeah. Sometimes they'll be like, oh yeah, okay, let's just do this. This guy's asked three times. Let's just do this. So I would never hesitate. Like, if you're going after a particular guest that you want to have, don't bug them, right? But ask nicely, then ask again, and ask again. Do it every 6 months or so, and see what comes up. Looks like we have another question.
Yeah, this one is from Stargate Pioneer. He says, will the next evolution in podcasting come from innovative content creation, technology advances, or a combination of both? So we're looking innovative content creation. That I think that's going to be the key for me. Technology, it's interesting to see where it's going to go. I mean, the Pocket Cast, there was an app that just
Pocket
went out of
Cat, yeah.
One
oh,
of the,
out, went out.
Yeah, went out of business because they just like, yeah, we got no money. Sorry.
But at the meantime, you mentioned Pocket Cast. They are on fire, right? Yeah. I mean, they're doing some great stuff. They're across all platforms and it's available. You know, in that research, 64% of the people listen to podcasts on their smartphone.
Yeah.
And that number is the one number that's drastically grown as smartphone proliferation. I can't never say that word.
Wow.
It was really bad.
That was good. I'm like, wow. I wouldn't even attempted that one.
I tried. I didn't do very well. but as more and more smartphones have made it into the market, the growth is in smartphones. So yeah, I'm going to say to Stargate Pioneer, technology will lead that, right? As things get easier and easier. I still think we need to, you know, the frontier right out that's out there right now, the final frontier is Android, right? We're not even cracking the surface of Android at this point. And I think if someone figures out how to get it going on Android, get it going well and make it popular, I mean, there's 2 billion devices out there that people could listen to podcasts on. So I think we need both a marketing and a technology innovation on Android. I mean, the iPhone has got it. That market is pretty well covered at this point. I mean, that pretty much works, but Android doesn't work at all.
Yeah. I know Mike Dell, I forget what app he was talking about. I know Overcast has this where you can listen on your phone and then you can log into Overcast. I think it's .com and listen on, it's almost like a Stitcher thing where whatever it's going through Overcast so that you can, wherever you're at, whatever you're on, you can pick up right where you left off. And so that was kind of Pocket Cast, yeah, is the app that Mike is using. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. It's kind of a card out of the Stitcher platform. That's one of the things I loved about it is I could log into Stitcher and just pick up right where I left off in the car. And
a lot better quality on Pocket Cast.
Yeah, exactly, because they're using the...
They're actually using your MP3, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in that sense. So, I think it's one of those things we've got to get, you know, we talk about subscribe on Android, right? And that's a great step. The problem is it's a step and you got to get everybody playing on the same playing field. You got to get the, you know, everything right. You know, Apple didn't have to do that. They just put put iTunes in place and everything because they're the giant and because their customers are better. iPhone customers are better than Android customers. They're better because they buy things. They actually do things. Android customers are just leeches. They just come on and they don't want to pay for anything. They don't want to, they won't do anything hard. They don't want, you know, there's a group of them that are super nerdy and super geeky. And then everybody else is just like, I'm not going to do this on Android. It's a terrible community.
Yeah, the whole app thing always makes me scratch my head, because you can do some really, really cool stuff with apps. Now I'm on an iPhone, but when I was on an Android, same thing. But people are like going, oh, I don't, it's $5.99.
I know, Dave, it drives me nuts.
And I'm like, you do realize like 6 years ago, if that was like a software you had to buy, it'd be like 50, yeah. 60, 100 right. bucks. And it's like, I don't know, $4.99. Oh, and I'm like, really?
It's what we've been conditioned to, though, right? Yeah. And the Android marketplace conditions people for free. That's what it conditions them for. And honestly, this kind of content cannot live or be supported in a free community. I think on the Android side, someone's going to need to crack that nut where they can do it. They can, you know, they can get their thing going and it gets ad supported and it actually works mm-hmm. on Android. That's just been the problem. So I don't know. It's a big frontier. Whoever gets that wins. Whoever gets that first wins on Android. It'll just go crazy and it'll really work.
I know there have been a few of the Android apps have you know, been adding the old subscribe on Android. That's slowly moving. But it is, again, it's slow. It's like, from what I understand, it doesn't take squat to add this to your software. And I'm waiting for things like Dog Catcher. Beyond Pod would be great. When I hear
Beyond, I think Beyond Pod's out there. I thought I just looked. Let me look here. I thought I saw that. If we go to
subscribe. That would be awesome.
Yeah, no, I think that's now an option that just got added. It is. Boom, Beyond Pod's in there.
Cool. What are the other ones?
So we have Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic, Simple Podcatcher, Beyond Pod, and Pod Kicker. Never heard of Pod Kicker. Kicker.
That's cool. That to me, because when I used an Android, that's what I was using. It says, interesting, Beyond Pod actually accepts iTunes links. Well, there you go. Now we're both ready to go.
I like Beyond Pod. That has been my default on Android. That's been my default go-to for people who want to listen to podcasts. And like, how do I do this? And I'm like, okay, download Beyond Pod. Go in there, big plus button, search for Home Gadget Geeks or whatever you want to listen to, and then subscribe, and you're in. And it's free. So for Android, that seems to be the model that kind of works. Now, you can upgrade. There's a $4.99 upgrade, I think, or $6.99, one of those two.
Yeah.
You can get more functionality. You don't need it on Beyond Pod. The free version works great.
I love Beyond Pod when I was using it because, A, I could tell it when to, like, how often to check a feed. Like, Keith and their girl had they have a daily show, and I couldn't listen daily. So I just told it, check it once a week. And so I took a daily show and made it weekly. And then if I wanted more, I could download more. I thought that was cool. And then I could choose whether or not. There's a whole bunch of options. On one hand, it's, you know, there's a little bit of a learning curve, but not a ton. But I just like the flexibility. And once you, with any smartphone, half the fun is the navigation, because you've got this little button that opens up that little button that does that little button. So that's always kind of fun.
Craig asked a question. What's the latest on Clamor? Is it growing outside of the podcasting space? Do you see it? Do you see it being adopted by podcast listeners as well as creators?
You know, I don't know, to be honest with you. I know I do the Clamorcast, and we're getting new people using it. Like, I don't know if it's really Jimmy Fallon, but somebody last week on the Clamorcast on the top 20 was a Jimmy Fallon clip from The Tonight Show. So that's kind of interesting. And we're getting – I'm happy to see that we're getting new people, because some of the stuff is like, really, this made the top 20? You know?
But it's going to be that way for a while, though, for you. This is, as a podcaster, I think there's an important lesson for everybody to learn in what you're doing with Clamorcast.
Yeah.
In that you've got to hold on for 6 months to a year for Clamor to go somewhere. And for you to be successful, it needs to go somewhere, right? But let's just say it does. That top 20 will continue to get better and better and better in quality the more people that use it. And so you just need to hold on long enough, you know, so that you see that change. I've been listening for, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks now, and I've noticed it is getting, the quality's inching up each week. Those Clamors are a little bit better and you still have some of the crazy ones, but they're getting less obscure.
Did you hear the version where they made me rap?
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
I was like, what?
See, but I think that is the genius and the beauty of a clamor is this mashup collaboration. Those things always do really well. And so I think that's the value of clamor. I know as content creators, we can just pump our stuff out there. And that's what I do, right? I just pump my stuff out there. But the real viral stuff is something where people create that content where they mash it up with something else. That's what I really think clamor wants to do, right? They want to make these mashups.
Yeah.
Like your rap.
And I know I'm going to forget his name. I can see. I think I'm going to call him Troy. He does. Oh, man, this drives me nuts. The guy, the Blacklist. Yes. The Blacklist Exposed or something like that. And he just asked his audience, you know, send us your favorite clamors of the show. And so they did. They people were mashing it up and all sorts of stuff. So that's a case where I don't know if that's other podcasters or just his listeners. Or, but it was interesting. I think that's kind of interesting because then you get to see what your audience thinks was like the golden nugget. You know, like John said earlier, where you said that Android customers are leeches. He goes, now there's a clamor.
Yeah, I was kind of scared. Actually, I've said some pretty bold things here in weeks past. I'm afraid somebody's going to start pulling those out, making clamors, and then I'm going to get hammered.
Yes. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel says, Troy Heinrichs. From Under the Dome Radio, The Blacklist Exposed and Resurrection Revealed. And, so it's, I need to start, putting trackable links in that. I keep saying that. The other thing is I barely clamor about me. I'm always finding other people's stuff and clamoring it out.
Yeah, that's way different than most people, Dave.
Yeah.
Most people are literally loading their own clamors in there.
I did put one out this week that was a clamor exclusive where I just mentioned the president's, stat. And how that was, and it was just some. I just made an 18-second clip and then linked it to, I think the article that was mentioning that. But it is interesting. I want to test that. I want to test with, you know, sending a link to iTunes. You can do that if you use the publisher.clamor.com. And
what about this question of these being real people? I mean, I've heard this more than once. Like, people are starting to question the people who follow and the people who like. They're like, are these even real people? Because it does seem a little odd. I went out there and I've looked at them. Like the likes I get sometimes on my stuff, the people and the pictures, I'm like, this doesn't look like anybody who would listen to my podcast. I'm just young, you know, young gals in their 20s. Probably I'm not their demographic. And, right. So I'm not questioning integrity at this point. I believe I've had Parviz on my show and I believe they're doing, but it just seems I hear that question a lot is like, are these real people? So the question I would have for Clamor at this point, and I'll have, maybe I'll have Parviz back on at some point, is to say, what are you guys doing for outreach, right? How are you gaining your customers in here? What are your methods? Because they have to do the same things we do. They need to get listeners, right? They need to get people to download the app and use it. I wonder how they're doing that. I don't know. You're a little bit more on the inside. Do you have any insight into kind of what they're doing for evangelism?
Not really. I the only thing I get from those guys at this point is they just send me the list and they'll maybe highlight a couple like honorable mentions. You know, and even that, they're like, you don't have to use those. This is what we thought was funny. But I need to start asking them, like, any news, anything we should share. Like, I know a new version of Clamor just came out this morning, and it just said bug fixes and something else. So it wasn't anything new in it.
Yeah, I did see that, too. Yeah. You know, Stargate Pioneer says, no, the no bios on most of them coupled with the pictures make me question it. So, hey, I think it's a valid point. I mean, it's like it does look a little odd. And again, when I was watching who was following me. Now, recently, I've had some people follow me where it makes sense. It's the picture and the stuff, the demographic fits what I'm doing from a tech perspective. And so I'm not trying to pigeonhole my listeners at all, too. I know, you know, you don't ever want to do that either. But I get it. I think it's a valid question. And I think a great question to Clamor would be, hey, what are you guys doing? And I bet they're doing some cool stuff. I mean, they're a cool startup. So I bet they're doing some cool stuff to get how are you getting people to start using Clamor? Certainly, we're doing it through all our podcasts, but man, our demographic is so tight. I mean, if you look at the chat room right now, Dave,
yeah,
it's a pretty tight demographic. Yeah. I'm just saying there's a few outliers, but it's mostly males, 35 to 55, right? That's not what we're seeing in Clamor right now. when we look at those, we look at those folks that are liking that stuff. So interesting, interesting conversation.
It is interesting because I just pulled up Clamor and it says your Clamor, apparently episode number 59 of The Wolf Den, with Kevin Smith has been played 500 times. I'm like, that's a lot of like plays, you know? So it again, is that, are those real people? And this is one of the things that I like about the app, because you can kind of get, you know, hear that somebody likes my one Clamor, et cetera, et cetera. But I actually sent somebody a message, like the people that were on the top 20. I said, hey, congratulations, you're in the top 20. And I'm like, you know what? They're never going to get that message with all these automated, your Clamor's been, you know, so-and-so is, you know, likes your Clamor, Marin and the President. Likes your, you know, I have a bunch of people that like that Clamor, Marin and the President, set new download record. Which is cool. That's awesome. And I guess, I think that's probably what's happening is, it reminds me back in the day of MySpace. You would just follow everybody. Same thing with Twitter. You just, if somebody followed you, you followed them back. Why? Because, well, why not? You know? And I think, I wonder sometimes if that's what's going on. If people are just liking you to, you know, like you. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's a problem of growth on these platforms. This is the hard part. And so it's great. The last 2 weeks I have not had time to slice out Clamors and put them in, and my traffic definitely dipped. So the life expectancy of a Clamor right now, 3 days, that's no scientific that, but I'm just, as I've in my own testing of this, 3 days, you've got to, that thing is out there and it's going to get hits. Unless it gets picked up or retweeted or not retweeted, reclamored. I don't even know if that's a word. But, you know, unless it catches some kind of something in there, it's going to last about 3 days. So I think if you're going to use Clamor, you can use it effectively. You got to be constantly pumping in new stuff. Clamors of your own. Yeah. Because I've got it totally dried up. I mean, like I said, 2 weeks ago, I just ran out of time.
Yeah.
Honestly, I get to the end. I need to move that up in my production checklist, because I have right now, I have it at the end, you know, make some Clamors. And by the time I get through that two and a half hour, three hour process, the last thing I want to do is hear myself again and make more Clamors.
Yeah, that's
so I need to move it up higher.
I now listen, if I edit my show, like today, I recorded an interview, and as I was listening through and removing answers that didn't really fit or whatever, and just kind of sharpening up the content, I'm also listening for, ooh, that's a Clamor. That's a Clamor. So it's kind of weird. And then I just make them, and I'm like, Clamor 1, Clamor 2, Clamor 3, and then I'll go in later and fix them. But yeah, I see John Buchanan says he did a Clamor. He actually made it to number 7 on the countdown, which just basically said, can you like my Clamor? And he just asked for it. And he said, it's been listened to over 1,000 times. Jason Bryan says, I'm getting around 100 to 150. And yeah, I just need to start tracking how many of these, because you get likes and then you get listens, right? That's the one I want to know. How many people clicked on hear more? That's the stat I would love to.
I wonder, while we're talking here, let me pull up my stats. I'm going to go on the Google Analytics side and see. I think I did this a couple weeks ago, but see if we're getting any traffic that's coming from a Clamor. You know, see if you can even see that.
That would be interesting to see, like in your Libsyn stats, if you could see the Clamor app, or if it's just going to show up as iOS.
Because I'm putting the active link to the MP3, which should show back up in, in my site content, you all pages.
The other thing I should mention, as you're looking that up, if you are a subscriber to the School of Podcasting, somewhere in the next day or two, I have switched host. I've moved to WP Engine, and it's interesting because I was trying to clean up my database. I think I'm going to hire a WordPress guru, because I have 8,000 files in the School of Podcasting. And I'm like, no, I don't. No, I'm sorry. I got a lot of posts. I got a lot of pages. I don't have 8,000. I'm sorry. No way. And, it was a hassle to move. I used I in the process of switching to WP Engine, they have a new thing where you put in a plugin and it throws your website on a website called Blog Vault, which then transports it into your WP Engine install. And at first it was working great. And I'm watching the progress bar, and then it choked on it and said, we got to 94%. And I'm like, because just downloading just the WP content folder took forever. And so then that was like at 10 to 11. I'm like, all right, I'll worry about this tomorrow. And I woke up and they're like, hey, we finished. It's done. And I'm like, OK, I could have sworn you just told me it died, but it's there. So I updated my DNS. And so they said it takes anywhere from 48 hours. But the bad news is that's probably going to show that all those episodes are new, which means I'm going to get a boatload of downloads. I know I sent an email to anybody who's on IFTT because there are those people that will retreat when I have a new episode. And Ryan K. Parker, speaking of Ryan,
no one will punch you in the face,
said that his IFTT was already kicking into gear. And I'm like, that's weird because it hasn't. Here's another big word for the day. It hasn't propagated yet across the internet. And so
I do that too for you. Yes. I do it for Ask the Podcast Coach. So yeah. I wasn't
that won't
necessarily
be affected.
Yeah. I went in and checked and I wasn't doing it for school of podcasting, but that's always a chore when you're switching providers and you know, you got to get that stuff moved over. And I mean, it takes a couple days to really get it all done and get it done right.
I keep checking. How I know is I went into my, I guess, staged at this point, website on WP Engine. And I went to I just added a text at the bottom, the very bottom of my my sidebar. It says, if you can read this, this is the new site. And that's how I'll know when it's propagated. They say they're going to email me, but this is like checking your stats. I keep going to the schoolofpodcasting.com to see if it's at the bottom of the page. But you had said there are some new stats from Edison. Is that like recent?
Yeah, very recent.
Okay.
Yeah, those stats that came out, I was digging in on my own stats here. Mm-hmm. I can't find on my referral traffic, I can't find anything coming over from Clamor. Daniel said in chat that in the last 3 months, he's had 7 Clamor click-throughs on the 2 posts in which I included Google Analytics on. And so I imagine there is some click over. You just got to keep, you just got to keep doing it to see what's going to come across. Tough digging through my stats. In fact, I was looking for the Edison bit a little bit earlier, but there are some new Edison stats that are out around podcasting. I'll need to dig in. I should have been looking for those earlier.
Well, it's interesting. Okay, I see it shows you how many plays and how many likes, but it doesn't show you how many. That would be the stat I want. How many click-throughs did I get? Because
just to kind of see if it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
and maybe that's why that's not there. Maybe at this point, I don't know. The other night I had great fun. I always, I'm assuming it's using, obviously it's using your data if you're not on Wi-Fi. And I'm assuming if I'm on Wi-Fi, it's using the Wi-Fi. So I'll only listen to Clamors if I'm, somewhere where there's Wi-Fi. And I just hit like the technology channel. And it was cool. I heard like about 5 or 6 things that I was like, all right, and I have it set now to have like a 2-second delay because it'll be in my pocket. And I'm like, oh, wait, I want more about that. So I'll go back and click on like, and then of course it emails it to you. But it'll be interesting to see how that evolves. And I know there are some competition coming out for it. One was, I forget the one. It was, I think it was 20 seconds, but there wasn't a link to anything else. And it was basically it was like an audio Twitter. You basically just clicked a button, said something for 20 seconds, and it just showed up on the front page of their service. Like it was just and you can imagine when you get 1,000 people using that, you're just going to lose the, did I lose you, Jim? You somehow,
no. Can you hear me?
There you are. There you go. Okay. Yeah. Cause I didn't click a thing and all of a sudden you vanished.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
So vanishing. It's a magic trick.
Well, I wish Google Hangouts had like your typical icon. Like they give you that weird green thing at the, if you want to switch windows. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to showing up as a regular Google Chrome kind of thing, it's in its own little window. So it's not really, I don't know what's going on there. But
Daniel dropped the link in the chat room to that Edison Research article. And so if you want to click on that, edisonresearch.com/the-podcast.consumer-2015 if you're wanting to follow along on the audio. And about 28 slides in there with the questions like, are you familiar with the term podcasting? That inched up a percent from 2014 at 48% to 49%. So that's a climb. So at least half of the people they surveyed are aware of the term podcasting, but podcast consumption over the last 5 years has really only climbed from 25 to these are percentage who have ever listened to a podcast.
Yeah, I mean,
from 25 to 33. So 33%, a full third now,
right,
of the people who they surveyed have actually consumed. So half have heard, a third have consumed on that, which is, hey, a third's not bad. I mean, considering in 2006, it was 11%. We celebrated that back in those days.
Like, woo, we're in double digits. That.
We're over 10%. monthly podcast consumption. So the percentage of those who have listened to a podcast in the last month, it is crawling its way up at this point. In 2015, 17% have listened to a podcast in the last month.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. In 2010 and 2011, it went from 12% to 12%. We had no growth.
Well, look at the conversion rate's not very good either. When we think about 33% have listened ever to a podcast, and only 17% have been converted to monthly podcast listeners.
Yeah.
So even half of that is, so it's like half, half, and half, you know, half have heard of it, half have ever listened
to
the other half. So we're really, I mean, so we're really at 17%, right? The monthly conversion, those are the listeners that we would, those are the good listeners, right? The monthly out there doing it. That's only 17%. It's not a great number.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a lot of work to do. I mean, if we're really talking about
it. So you're right.
It,
that is half. I mean, it's literally.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not math-wise, but I think just thinking about it.
Close enough,
if you're going to go out and do a presentation, you know, you could say half of all people surveyed have at least heard of the word podcast, and half of those have consumed at least one at some point in time, and half of those are doing it on a monthly basis. That'd be pretty close. I think that would be enough if you're doing it. But you're right. In the sixth slide, those who listen to podcasts, right down the middle, 50% guy. That's suspect, by the way. That seems a little too even. 50% men, 50% women. I don't know.
I wish they had. I'd have to go back and look what it was like last year, because I don't think it was close to 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge jump.
That would be interesting to see that on a bar chart with a trend.
Yeah.
You know, going forward. But so the age one, this I think is very interesting in slide seven, the age comparisons of the U.S. population versus those that are listening to podcasts. And it's, to me, it's split around the board. I mean, certainly 65 and above are not listening to podcasts right now, right? They're 70% of the population. Only 6% of are listening to podcasts. That's a no-brainer, right? Because it's largely a technology exercise. But the 25 to 55 demographic is what's dominating for sure. Certainly 18 to 24 is doing okay, as well as 12 to 17, right? Those percentages are okay. But by far, the dominance is in those three, it's in the 25 to 45 category, if you want to talk about it. And it's not a big dominance, right? I mean, it's still pretty evenly spread. So
yeah.
I don't know if I would target demographically or if an age group, if I was going to do that. If they're spread nicely. The millennials are not listening to more podcasts than the Xers. It's actually the Xers are listening, according to these stats, the Generation X, they're listening to more podcasts than the millennials are at this point. So, yeah. The numbers are so close. So I'm not sure I'd even make a big deal about it, you know, from that standpoint.
Huh. Interesting.
It's a good little deck.
Yeah.
I went through this yesterday when I saw it. And so it was slide eight talks about podcast consumers and household 2015 household income of 75,000 or more. And here in the U.S., there's some interesting stats there. And it's not broken out by Android and iPhone. Bless you. It's it would be great if it would split those out. I think you'd see a huge disparity in household income between iPhone and Android.
Yeah.
In that. And I think that's why Android people don't buy stuff. It's because it doesn't reach, the iPhone reaches the affluent and the Android does not. The Android's that cheap phone. It's the one you go to and you get for nothing at the Sprint store or at the Best Buy store. And anyways, so there's some great, if you want to dig into that, Dave will include the link to that in the show notes going forward. But Dave, I'm sure this will make a school of podcasting.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I'll be talking about this. I'm like, okay, I know what I'm talking about on Monday now.
So yeah.
It's interesting. It is, you know, kind of interesting that again, on one hand, it's growing, so we can still say podcast growth has grown every year pretty much. But man, it's a crawl. It's like, holy cow.
It is. It's just going to take time. I think there'll be a burst at some point, right, mm-hmm. where it'll really catch on and all of a sudden we'll be like, you know, whoa, where did that come from? I remember back in maybe 2007 listening to tech podcasts and Android was still nothing at that point. And I remember thinking, when is this Android thing going to take off? I mean, they keep talking about it, but when is this thing going to take off? And the iPhone came out and then, man, in 2009, Android just exploded. And so the potential is there. It can happen.
Yeah, it's just...
We'll just have to see if it does.
Well, and that's where things like International Podcast Day, where we're trying to get everybody to talk about podcasting for a day, trying to get the word out there. And I see where they go into how people are consuming it. Like if you have a smartphone, you're 78% more likely to listen to podcasts. And
there's even a slide on the Serial podcast, right? That a percentage who had heard it and not heard of it, and 10% had heard of it, and 3% no, that can't be right. What is it? What are these numbers? Serial podcast, aware of the Serial podcast, ever listened to Serial? Oh, so only 10% were aware of it when they asked the question, because we talk about Serial all the time, right? So that 10%. A tenth of the audience was aware of it. Only 3% of those had actually listened to it. So Serial may not be the blockbuster. It was a huge blockbuster for us, but let's be honest.
Right. Big fish in a small pond.
Yeah. When you're a podcaster and the average podcast number is 176 downloads or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. And, you know, I'm in the thousands when, you know, maybe 1,000, right. From a podcast number, those are still really tiny numbers. And I don't want to discourage anybody, right? But when we talk about mainstream media, those are still really tiny numbers. And so for Serial to do as well as it did, I mean, that's good, but it's not mainstream, right? It's not Big Bang Theory. It's not NCIS numbers, right? It's not 34 million people in a night. So we got a ways to go. And I think our content has to get better. I mean, Steve Jobs, the whole amateur hour comment that he made in the very beginning, I think it's really appropriate right now as there's just an explosion of podcasts that honestly probably aren't very good, right? The more you get doesn't make it better. In fact, it probably has made it worse. And so in the podcast community of some sort, we've got to continue to strive to get better and better quality. Now, that doesn't mean looking like everybody else. That doesn't mean making a John Lee Dumas or making an NPR podcast or your own Serial, right? We've got to continue to strive to be really good in the podcasting stuff that we do.
Kathy makes a great point. Let's think about this. Who actually takes time to participate in phone surveys? It's kind of like, it's like
I'm a researcher, dude. You got to be careful. Yeah. I'm a
well, that's just true. Saying,
I got the shirt on this morning.
Yeah. Then Dan Kramer says a great point. The only place he hears about Serial are on podcasts about podcasting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 It's like, well, but I've heard from work. I've heard from people who never listen to a podcast. They know I'm a podcaster and they come up to me and like, so you're listening to Serial, right? And they're so proud of themselves for listening to a podcast, right? I found one I like. Yes. And they're just proud of themselves because they know I podcast. So they come up to me and they think that's pretty cool. But you're right. That's usually where it gets talked about mostly is us.
Yeah. I did have a question. Man, this time went fast. I do miss the phone, though.
I know.
Weird. We don't get that many phone calls, but it's fun
when they come in.
I want to play the jingle just for the sake of it. The question of, I'm not using WordPress. How do I do this? And what's interesting is we're used to, like, you know, Libsyn has a player. SoundCloud has a player. And somebody said, what's the Blueberry player? And I go, it's PowerPress. PowerPress is the plugin that you can add to your WordPress site. And I know Mike Dell is in the chat room. If you know, is there, I don't know that there is a single episode player from Blueberry. That was going to be my question for Mike. I'm glad he's in the chat room. Cause he was using, I think he said Wix or he was actually using Squarespace. And I said, well, you can take, as far as I know, there's a Squarespace player. And I go, you can copy anybody's
Yeah, you can make it work. Yeah, Squarespace is still kind of difficult, though.
Yeah, it's not the easy platform. And it's for whatever reason, he was really anti-WordPress. He's like, I wouldn't wish WordPress on anybody. And I'm like, okay, well,
that's... There is that community. Whenever I talk to my developers at work, they just hate WordPress. Yeah. Some of it's just, it's like, you know, when you're a PC guy, you hate Apple. When you're an Android guy, you hate iOS. When, you know, those kinds of things. I think for content designers, for folks who do this, I think they see WordPress as an easy out. And that it's maybe not as customizable as they want it to be. So there is a underpinning negativity or in some communities around WordPress.
Yeah.
But for the average guy, WordPress is dynamite.
Well, I was surprised. On Tim Ferriss's show, Alex Bloomberg was interviewed on a two-parter. The second one was really interesting. It was a clip of him doing a class on how to do interviews, which was really interesting. I was unaware that... Startup is using SoundCloud for their media host. And as far as I know, their RSS feed. And I was like, wow, I did not. Again, that's where I kind of go. I'm starting to kind of at times want to step back and go, okay, why is it that I don't like this again? You know, and then really go back and check my facts and make sure I'm on the right track here.
Dave, I think we get so concerned about when we think about our audience and we think about podcasters, and I've heard you say this several times, we often think we're starting a podcast for the rest of our lives, right? Yeah. It's like, because the goal, our goal is to get 200 episodes. It used to be 100. Now it's 200, right?
Right.
A really good podcast. You'd have 400 for God's sakes, right? So you're almost up to five. And it's this big shiny trophy and we have all these episodes and this is great and I'm good because I've got 500 episodes and blah, 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 blah. The current media culture does not think that way at all. They think in terms of seasons and they think very short term and they're willing to cut bait as soon as it gets bad. And so when you think about like Serial or Startup, right, they did that in a season. And if it hadn't gone well, it'd be gone. We don't do that because we're hobby podcasters. We keep going, right? And so when you think about using a SoundCloud, their objective is not longevity. It's exposure. And if you're on SoundCloud for exposure, there's almost not a better place to be, right, from that standpoint. Because they don't care about their RSS feeds and they don't care about necessarily the stats and those kinds of things. They're looking for kind of the cool wow factor and they want to be a hipster like everybody else on SoundCloud. And so it makes sense that they end up out there because they don't care about some of the same things we do. They just don't care. It doesn't ID3 tags. They don't give a rip that they're not fully functional out there. They're like, can people listen to it? Yes. Boom. I'm in there. Right. Will it give me extra boost? Boom. I'm in there. I do that. So I think they just come at it a little bit differently than we do. And when we think of podcasting, we think of long term, right? We think of like, okay, what's going to happen when you get your 200 episode? They're not thinking about 200 episodes. They're thinking about how do they make six that are really good and get a million downloads each. That's all they care.
Well, right? Here's something I just discovered. I went to Startup and I see that they're using a address of feeds.hearstartup.com/hearstartup, which then in that feed, it's a Google app, and apparently it is appspot.com, and they're at pub sub hub bub. That's right, pub sub hub bub. Here, let me put this in the chat room.
You can't make that up.
Sub
hub bub dub.
Yeah,
bub a dub dub. Is that
the- yeah? In the three men in a tub hub pub. Yeah. In addition, it says this hub confirms to pub sub hub bub .4 specification. In addition to the hub confirms to, so it's use this hub with your feeds. So I'm trying to figure out like what is, not that I really care, but I'm interested.
Right.
What does Startup use for their feed if they're using SoundCloud? Because the thing this was months ago, was Rob Greenlee said that at times their SoundCloud feed was missing bits and pieces. Yeah. It would still.
It's not a fully formed.
Yeah. So I was interested to see like feed. If they're using SoundCloud, because the only way to get the easy way, the way it's designed is you use SoundCloud's feed, and they do have a redirect. You have to kind of dig for it, but it's in there. But you have to say this is available for download, and that in theory triggers it to go into the feed. So I was just like, that's interesting. But I was like, well, maybe I need to go back and look at SoundCloud. I know what, I keep hearing that they're losing money, and that's another one that I need to go, okay, I've heard that. I need to go verify that.
And again, we've all repeated the same source on that, right. By the way. Every time I hear that, that's one guy saying it in one place, and we're all repeating it. I don't think anybody's ever called SoundCloud and said, hey, is this true?
Yeah.
Right. And it might be. I'm not calling anybody out.
Yeah, we need to ask Uncle Google.
Yeah, well, or just call SoundCloud, right? Or send them an email. So they probably won't answer back. But again, the purpose is different. They see this as being very, very disposable, right? They don't care that they're not going to make 200 episodes, right? They're not even going to make 100.
Right.
They're going to get 50 of these things out maybe. And they're just looking, how can I mean, again, if it was me and I had money, I'd use them all. Right. I would go on SoundCloud and I would buy advertising on SoundCloud and I would get that thing. You know how many people hit SoundCloud every single day?
Oh, yeah.
If you can get that thing pushed up to the, I mean, I just got featured on Spreaker, on the front page of Spreaker, and it gave me a lift. Right.
Nice.
I mean, you're like, okay. So I would use, if I was in this for the money, I would not get snooty about unqualified XML feeds. Right. I'd be like, what's going to get me numbers?
Yeah.
And they don't think about the legacy like we think about it. Like, you got to come back to our site and blah, 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 blah. They're just trying to get their audio in front of as many people as they can.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad strategy. Most of us don't have the capital to do that, right? We have to grow organically. So it's a different, it's apples and oranges. It's just a little bit different. But I don't blame them I think they're successful.
Yeah. Right?
They got tons of numbers. NPR is kicking it. Doing it this way, and they don't do it. They break a lot of the rules we say they should do, and then we get mad at them. You can't do this, and they're just like,
we just did.
You.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, hey, I looked at the clock. I'm like, wow, that went quick.
1 hour done.
So,
great chat room today, by the way.
Yes, thank you for the chat room. Awesome. I know what I'll be doing when we're done here. I'll be chasing the elusive allow button that is invisible. I've already rebooted the Mac, so normally you can call it. You still got your questions answered live. They just came in from a different medium. So thanks you to the chat room. Thank you to Mr. Cullison. Again, you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. Anything fun coming up on your network?
Oh, there's always some kind of interesting interview going on over there. So if you're interested in a little stuff outside the box on the tech side, we'd love to have you come over. And, we interviewed the general manager of Silicon Valley News the other night.
Nice.
Had a great interview with him. Actually, we interviewed Hanny from Simple Podcast Press last Thursday. So
nice.
You want to hear him? We talked a little bit about WordPress development, but it's not a WordPress show. So
if
you're interested in that, theaverageguy.tv.
And on Monday's School of Podcasting, I'll be interviewing a guy who had a sponsor before he had a podcast. That's a new one. And why that worked and how he got it to work, that is on Monday's edition. Kale from itsfotime.com. It's a ham radio show. So that's coming up. As always, you can save on your first month at the School of Podcasting using the coupon code ASK20. And thanks to the chat room. And next week is July 4th.
Yep, we're gone.
We're not having a show next week. Go do something with your family and friends. Don't eat too much. And
keep your fingers and toes intact.
Exactly. And we'll see you then. Take care. We'll see you in 2 weeks.